Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
日本語で読みします。マタイの福音書5章13節から16節まで。あなた方は地の塩です。もし塩が塩気をなくしたら、何によって塩気をつけるのでしょう。もう何の役にも立たず、外に捨てられて、人々に、excuse me. I can't see.に踏みつけられるだけです。あなた方は世界の光です。山の上にある町は隠れることができません。また明かりをつけてそれをマスの上に置くことは置くものはありません。食台の上に置きます。そうすれば
食材の上に置きます。そうすれば家にいる人々全部を照らします。このようにあなた方の光を人々の前で輝かせ、人々があなた方の良い行いを見て天におられるあなた方の父を崇めるようにしなさい。
Good morning, everyone.My goal is not to cry because I ran out of ammunition. I ran out of bullets. We had a big box here and it got used up already. All right. Well, last week we looked at the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. Today I want to look at Jesus' words, "You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world."Did you catch that? It says, "You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world." He did not say you have the potential to be salt or the potential to be light. If you work hard enough, you could be salty. Todd over there is salty already, but that's a different kind of salty we're talking about. We're talking about salt...in a positive way. And Jesus says, that's what you are. That's what you are. And, you know, last week we looked at just, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He begins his famous Sermon on the Mount. He expounds on some of the culture of the kingdom. He expresses his heart and God's heart for his disciples. And the common themeThat you come away with as you look at the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes is blessed. The refrain, blessed, 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 and that's his heart for you and for me. He wants you to be blessed. Blessed is the word meaning happiness, but it carries more than just happiness. The Bible translator, they didn't want to just, you know, say happy because it's more than just happy.There's an eternal aspect to this happiness, and so they use the word blessed. That's the culture of the kingdom. That is the heart that God has for you and I, and that is what He wants us to be. He wants us to remind us, even if, blessed are you. Now Jesus turns to His disciples and says, "This is who you are.You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again. It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Again, Jesus didn't say, I'm going to make you salt. Like he says to Peter, I will make you fishers of men. So there are things God will make us into, but there are things that we just are intrinsically. Intrinsically, you are salt. Intrinsically, you are light. But there is a warning with that. There is a warning of who we are, that just because you're salt, it doesn't mean that somehow, in some way, you can't lose that essence that you carry, the nature that you carry. Now, when Jesus calls his disciples salt, what does he mean? I don't know. I actually don't know. So may the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. You know, there's a lot of commentary on what salt was used for, what it could mean. Jesus doesn't go and expound on what it means, so perhaps the Holy Spirit will speak to each and every one of you individually. But here are some of the things it could mean. It could simply mean salt as a preservative. Salt was used to preserve food in the ancient days. And so they use salt as a preservative, and perhaps it's saying, you are here to preserve this earth from decaying and dying. Salt was also used for covenants. The salt of the covenant was for Aaron and the priestly priesthood. And, you know, what does the salt of the covenant mean? I don't know. I wasn't going to do that much research for you guys today. It's my last Sunday. I can leave. You guys can't fire me. No, just kidding. You know, I just really don't know what it means. You know, the salt of the covenant, it could mean it's an eternal, perpetual covenant. Salt, you know, was used for purifying. It can be used to just purify open wounds. It could be used to purify just spaces. They use salt. Even in the Japanese culture, they use salt. I'm sure other cultures, they use salt to purify things, to make things holy. Salt has a lot of properties. There's one more thing for salt. Oh, yeah, it was a Greek thing. It was like, you know, the term, that person is worth their salt. They use salt to pay Roman soldiers, so it was a valuable commodity, and perhaps, I don't know, that's what Jesus is saying. I don't know if that's what Jesus is saying about you. Make sure you're worth your salt when you come into the kingdom. Make sure you're worth something. If not, I'm cutting you off from the kingdom. You don't deserve me. No, that's not how Jesus is. Jesus is more loving than that. He's not like some shrewd CEO, like looking and counting and calculating. He says, you know, I weighed everything out. I'm pretty smart. You're not worth your salt. Get out of my kingdom. That's not the kind of guy he is. But he does say you are salt of the earth. And I do think in a lot of ways it means all of those things. In fact, when God created Adam and Eve, he created them and put them on the earth to do exactly those things. Add value to this earth. Preserve it. Take care of it. And Jesus, perhaps here, is restoring that identity that we lost in the garden. Reminding us of it. This is who you are. Church, that's who you are. When you follow Jesus, that is who you are intrinsically. That's not what you're going to become. That is who you are. As Jesus looks on this earth and he sees the disciples of Jesus walking on this earth, he sees it and he says, that's a good earth. Because of those salt. It adds so much life, flavor, pizzazz. I don't know. All right, that's the last time I'm going to do that. It's just... just like salt, if it's just one grain of salt, it doesn't do too much. So make sure you don't forget to gather together with other believers. Because some areas in this world needs a lot of salt. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Did you catch that? He's giving an even greater revelation. He says, first of all, you are salt of the earth. Now he uses a different word. He says, you are the light of the earth. He does not say that. He says, you are the light of the world. Cosmos. Paul would also echo those things, saying, you are like stars shining bright in this world. No longer are we confined to having influence on earth. But as followers of Jesus, he gives a greater revelation of who you are, who we are. You are the light of the world, so that it will shine forth all creation, even if there are aliens. They will see the light of this world. That is you. Should I make Greg and Nate do more paperwork this Monday? Apparently, if I say certain things and it like hits like what they're doing, or you know, they're required to like document it or something. Like, no, I won't make them do any more paperwork. Anyways, you are the light of the world. Not just to this earth, and as science increases and we know more about this world, we see how, I don't know, just that statement. Really? Jesus knew all of that. He didn't just, he was a genius, right? He knew all of that. He knew how significant light is. How important light is in this world. He knew all of that. He knew life is a life-giving sustenance in this world, that without light there would not be life as we know it. He probably knew that even within our very being, I think light emanates from us. That there's a flash of light when we're first conceived. All of these things. And Jesus says, you are the light of the world. We are not just stewards of this earth anymore. We are no longer just salt of the earth. And even if it was just that, that would be fantastic. But he goes on even further. But he calls us the light of the world. The domain he gives us, the influence he gives us, went from the earth to the world. We did not deserve it. We did not earn it. But he has given it to us freely. By grace. By his grace, Jesus has given that to us. Of course, Jesus, in the Gospel of John, concerning himself, he says, I am the true light of the world. But here we are given the revelation that you, because you came to church today, are the light of the world. No, just kidding. You were light before you came to church. In Jesus' time, there were a couple of cities built on a hill. And as he says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. As he says those things, perhaps the people that were listening, those cities came to mind. There was a city called Sepphoris, just 4 miles north of Nazareth, where Jesus grew up. It was a large, sophisticated city with Roman-style buildings. And it would have been visible to Jesus from Nazareth in the town he grew up in. Imagine as a little boy in, you know, the slums of Nazareth, literally dirt poor, growing up and looking over and seeing this beautiful city set on the hill, on the mountain. They had no TV, they had no cell phone, they didn't have any of those kinds of things. And so something like that, something as beautiful as that, probably just meant a lot more, just looking at that city. And as he says, you are the light of the world, perhaps those memories were conjured up. And those that lived in Nazareth and the surrounding city, they were like, yeah, that's a very beautiful way of saying things, Jesus. There was another city on Gamla. It's located on the Golan Heights. And this city was visible from anyone on or near the Sea of Galilee. And perhaps that was the city some of the disciples or some of those, the crowds that came to hear, maybe that was the city that came to mind. Just a beautiful city on the hills. Or perhaps when he says you are a city on the hill, it was the most famous city on the hill in that time. The holy city, Jerusalem. The city on the hill. And of course, there are revelations and prophecies of this holy city that one day will be the most beautiful city again. Not the literal Jerusalem, but a spiritual Jerusalem. But a city on a hill cannot be hidden. That's who you are as the church. Now, it may not feel that way sometimes. You may not think of yourself that way sometimes. I know I don't. But Jesus here is saying, blessed, 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 blessed. And now let me tell you something about yourself that you may not know. You are the most beautiful city this world will ever see. A city on a hill. Just filled with light. Emanating light. Again, there's a warning. To not be light and cover it up with a bowl, but instead put it up there on a stand so that it gives light to everyone and everything. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. What does it mean to be light? It means that we are to be filled with good deeds. You don't do good deeds to earn your way into heaven. We all know that. We don't work our way into God's good graces. God gives us all of these things even before we do one good deed. And as He gives us all of these things, I don't know if what He expects in return is the right phrase to use. Word to use here. But as He's given us all of these things, hopefully there's enough goodness in us that it comes out of us and it affects other people. That when, you know, for example, say someone gives you $100,000. Is that even a real word? I don't think that's a real number. So that's just like, for example, you know? I don't want to use real things, okay? That's just an example. For example, if someone gives you that much money, and say the offering plate goes around, and you have $300 in your pocket, and you're like, I'm going to give a dollar. You know, sometimes we just want to hold on. As if it's a zero-sum game. You know, if they win, I lose. God is not a zero-sum game kind of God. God is overly generous. In fact, God, maybe you're too generous. You give us too much. And even though He gives us so generously, some of us, as we follow God and we're so blessed to have all of these things in our lives, for some reason we just hold back. You know, like, what if I don't have that next week? What if my $100,000 all of a sudden disappears or something? I don't know. Yeah. You are salt, you are light. Don't lose your saltiness. Don't cover up your light. But instead, it says something like, let it shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let us pray.